RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and it's a big buildup. That's why I paused. It's not that I forgot you. I didn't forget you or anything like that, Tracy.
No, of course not. Of course. You see, when I wait, it doesn't happen. When I jump into my name, you interrupt me with and I look like an idiot. It's Monday.
It's one or the other. It is Monday. Slow start.
Lord. So we have a bunch of stuff to talk about today. But I want to start with some. Okay, first of all, I'm still responding to emails. So if you didn't get a response yet, bear with me. Second of all, I did a thread yesterday on my Twitter account about this wedding that was. Okay, so I don't know if you saw this, Frank. Did you see it?
No, what?
Okay. There was the. Let me just make sure that I have it right because the two groups are very closely aligned. Women for America First. They did this whole big thing last week where they went to Pelosi's office and they had a rally or a protest about the impeachment. They're run by this great, great, great lady named Amy Kramer. And they had their Christmas party at the Willard in D.C. So they went there and they had their party. And at the same time as that party was a wedding going on. And the wedding apparently was filled with Democrats. And so throughout the night, these Democrats were going over to the registration desk for the party and like harassing some of the people at the party in the bathroom, calling them all kinds of horrible names.
Of course, they're the greatest people on earth. These are the most inclusive, great people on earth. Thank God for them.
Yeah. So they're calling them Nazis, fascists, bigots. See you next Tuesdays. You know, they were like harassing a guest in the bathroom, a woman.
What's next Tuesday?
I don't know. It's the day before Christmas.
But they were saying, see you next Tuesday?
You know, C-U-N-T.
C-U-N-T?
Yeah, I don't want to say that word on air. So I just.
I guess I must be nuts. I can't even think of what you might be suggesting
right
now.
Write it down.
Can you pause real quick?
Hold on. Now that we cleared up that middle little.
Now I understand.
See, if you don't understand, I hope the audience understands.
You know what it is, Tracy? I'm just so used to actually saying the word. I don't know these acronyms.
These people were calling the people from the Christmas party that support Donald Trump a horrible word that I won't ever say. Because I hate it.
What joyless black holes?
Oh, it gets worse.
What just gravity wells? These people are awful.
So I was talking to one of the people there who said, you know what? It's time to talk about this and gave me a statement. And you'll never believe who was involved in this. So this wedding's going on all night long. These people are being harassed all night long to the point where given I've gotten some other folks who were there that have, you know, spoken up about it. They had to actually have, cause these people were coming into their Christmas party from the wedding and like placing fake auction bids on their silent auction and like harassing kids that were there, the 16-year-old that was there. It was bad. And so they finally got hotel staff to stand outside of their ballroom and block these people from coming in. This is from a wedding. Okay. Let's just get that straight.
So they were taking time away from a wedding to go harass.
Right. So let's listen. And these are like middle-aged adults. This isn't like, you know.
Did the bride and the groom do it too?
No. I'm going to read the statement. The statement is this. This is word for word from the person who was there. Last night, there was a wedding with Democrats at the Willard in D.C. As soon as they found out Women for America First were having an event to support the president, they immediately started to taunt women in the bathroom, calling them MAGA sluts, MAGA trash, and that other word. They kept trying to infiltrate our private event multiple times, doing fake bids on auction items and harassing people at the event, including a 16-year-old minor. When it became clear it wasn't going to stop, hotel security was called by the WFAF event to de-escalate the situation and for guests' safety. Jonathan Gillum, do you know who he is?
Yes.
Him and other men from the event began escorting women away from the event safely after it was over, because men and women from the wedding were taunting the women at the party. They were saying, only people who care about their ovaries can ride the elevator, barring guests from getting into the elevator and making Trump insults, calling us Nazis, fascists, and bigots. And
how can you not care about your ovaries that is a pro-life, pro-choice argument right mm-hmm. there. You're actually pro allowing your ovaries to do what they're designed to do.
Yeah.
How is stunting every biological function that you can possibly intervene with medicine or anything like that be anti-ovary?
No one ever said they were smart, Frank.
No, they're not. They're not. They're just very driven, evil people.
So as Jonathan Gillum was escorting women up the stairs, a group from the wedding started harassing him and like calling him out, saying, you must be a real tough guy with that haircut, and wouldn't allow anyone to move forward, blocking all the women. So one man kept on coming up in his face, insulting him and instigating. The woman's safety was at risk because the guy came at him and he was blocking the exit. So Jonathan tried to get the women to safety by clearing a path, and 4 to 6 men jumped on him.
Jonathan Gillum?
Yep. One of them got arrested for assault.
He should have ripped out the other yeah. one's throats.
There are 6 guys on this former Navy SEAL FBI agent. I mean, who in the world? Not only that, but this dude fills in for Hannity, for Rhett Webb, for Wilkow. Like, this isn't some nobody they jumped on.
I've heard that's how I know him, for filling in for Webb.
So, and I know him too from a long time ago. He's a friend of mine. So I posted this thread, and of course it went a little, not really crazy, but it went crazy. I started getting a couple people who were there commenting on it. And this one woman, I felt so horrible for her. I mean, she was manning the registration desk. Should I just read what she had to say?
If you'd like, sure.
Ridiculous. Just trying to find it. Here we go. Her name was Cindy. She said, I've never experienced anything like this in all my years of activism. I was running the registration check-in and front room and dealt with them all night. They were the most disgusting display of TDS I had ever seen. Who attends a wedding at the Willard, which is a very high-profile hotel here? She actually wrote a thread. She said, geez, it's a long thread.
Well, just hit the most... the biggest points, but I'll tell you who attends a high end hotel for a wedding and spends time harassing people who they disagree with politically. The same kind of classy people that walk around in the middle of city streets with vagina costumes on. That's who, the very classy people who do that.
She says they hid their signage even because they didn't want any problems, you know, because this is what we have to do now again nowadays. We can't even have signage out there because of these freaking lunatics.
Yeah.
So it began because the door was opening to the ballroom and they were able to see the signage inside. And that was it. Some people would walk by and scream nasty comments. Other came inside the room to spew hatred. Some signed up for the silent auction items. When asked to leave, they started screaming and making verbal attacks. Security was called, but even then they refused to leave, acting as if they owned the room. It was disruptive and intimidating. Many of our guests didn't want to come out to risk being attacked. So participation in the auction was limited. And when their party ended, it got worse. When you mix wealthy entitlement with intoxication and their ideology rooted in an unjustified hatred of people based solely on the fact that we don't stand in the lockstep they've decided we should, you get an ugly scene. And then there was one guy who was screaming, we paid $100,000 for this. This is our, we could do whatever we want. So this is like a big deal. And of course, there are pictures of all this and stuff. There are pictures somebody randomly put on Instagram with all the cops in the lobby. And, I'm waiting to see if I can get the okay to post some video because there are obviously active charges right now. And, I think Jonathan is heftily pursuing them.
Oh, good. This is what really, really all comes down to. And I had said this on Twitter over the weekend when, you know, I try to post limited amount of stuff over the weekend, but I came across some of the Antifa rioting out there in the UK as a result of the landslide victory out there in the UK, which I still don't, I don't understand why everybody still says that they are the majority and they speak for the people. And obviously you clearly keep losing. I mean, you're really not. You have the you are squeaky wheels. You have loud bullhorns, but you're not. And
I did a whole video over the weekend explaining how we got to where we are and said the exact same thing, that they're not the majority. But go ahead. Sorry.
No, seriously. It's true. And it's so evident. And the other thing there, too, is because they're being exposed, they have to commit to worse and worse behavior.
Yep.
And you can actually see what was never their intention, even though I think it was pretty obvious in the first place. Anybody who commits to this brand of governing does not care about the liberty of any one person. They don't care about anything. And when you see people rioting or you see people going and committing to this kind of a display at a, you know, walking away from a wedding they were invited to, I can imagine if it were the other way around a little bit more. I can actually understand that where, hey, we're coming to a little event and, you know, hey, let's dip out. Let's go prank the wedding next door. Let's go crash the wedding next door. I can actually even understand that plot better. But to say you went to a person, you went to somebody's wedding and you left a wedding to go crash a political event?
No, not only just crash the event. That's like lighthearted, you know? They literally were
terrorized.
Yeah, and not only that, but I'm trying to confirm this right now. There were some pretty high profile Democrats in that wedding. And as soon as I can firm that up for sure, people are going to lose it when they find out who was there.
Well, you know, Tracy, what this really all comes down to when we look at this behavior and we see these people rioting, I mean, it's really just a matter of understanding. If we would all just quit dragging our feet in giving them everything they want, they wouldn't have to do this to us. Okay,
no, I know. And look,
they wouldn't have. We're forcing them to do this. It's our fault. It's our fault. We're not listening to them. It's our fault.
Look at what they're doing with the Senate impeachment. Do you see what they're doing? They have people out there saying it is so there are people on the left that are screaming about how biased the Senate is because they're working directly with the White House on the impeachment. And the White House is going to be asking the questions like and Schumer is talking to McConnell saying, well, this is what we want to do.
Okay, like, go to hell.
You
go
don't have
hell.
Any freaking majority in the Senate, you loser. They better I
go
swear,
to hell, if Dracula.
If these Senate Republicans don't cram this crap right down their throats the way they did to us, they better do it. They're going to have a bunch of pissed off people.
Oh, yeah. No, they understand it. And I think that I think what we're seeing in public, people are starting to express a willingness to go much farther than just protest now. People are starting to express it a lot more. You see the demonstrations, the anger with Adam Schiff in California?
I did. I shared that. Yep.
That's intense stuff. People are getting fed up. And I think at one point Democrats may have wanted people to get fed up and do something stupid so they can use it. But the problem is that more and more people are starting to warm to the idea and see how it might be necessary because there's no way out. There's no way away from this. There is no reason. There is no logic. There's no negotiating.
There's no law. They don't follow any rules.
When you're boxed in like this, what do you expect people to start considering? And the other thing here is, too, when you look at the Senate, this is what we want to do. No, you've already done everything you wanted to do. You concocted this entire thing behind closed doors with nobody else's input. And now you're going to a chamber that has a different majority and you just go to hell. I mean, that's just what it is. You go to hell and you just like it there. That's it.
Just to see that these these two-faced freaking pundits and crap on the left saying how unfair the Senate impeachment trial is going to be just makes me. This is the thing. They're angering people to a point where it's not going to be a one-off, Frank. It's not going to be a one-off attack or a one-off fight back or it's going to be everybody fighting freaking back. It's going to be everybody. And then what are they going to do? Make an example out of everybody? It's not going to work. It doesn't work anymore. Look what they tried to do to the Army Navy game to the soldiers.
I heard something about it, but with somebody flashed an OK sign or something. They were investigating them.
It was the circle game. You know the circle game.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was the context.
They were doing the circle game, and of course they went nuts with these guys are white supremacists, which, but let's just put an end to this right now. This was literally started as a joke to prove how idiotic and insane these people are. And they've latched onto it and actually made it a real thing, which is exactly what we thought they would do when it was introduced. Like, they're literally a parody of themselves. Do you know how it originated, the white power thing?
What, the OK sign?
Yeah.
Tie-in? I don't know. It came around the same time that everybody started saying that whole milk, that milk was racist. And
yeah, because they were on 4chan throwing out things that they could start to promulgate to make the people on the left look like complete and total morons. And one of them was this OK symbol meaning white power. And it worked. That's the bizarro world we're in right now.
You brought something up before, though, about this is a partisan thing with the Senate and the impeachment and all that. The only thing partisan about this has been support for impeachment, not support for declining it. There is it's been said before that this is the first attempt at impeachment. That is that the only bipartisan agreements that are being made is opposing it.
Right.
Well, there are Democrat defectors on this. There are no Republican defectors. This is a small slice of a small and virulent slice of the Democrat Communist Party. And and when you see the only bipartisanship in being arising in this story in being skeptical about it, that should tell you something.
You saw
that's the only bipartisanship is.
You saw a member of the Democrat Party flip parties this weekend. A walkaway.
Yeah, I read something about that.
Yeah, he was a moderate. He was a walkaway. He's a walkaway. He actually tagged Brandon. Who? It's his birthday today, by the way.
Happy birthday, Brandon.
Anyway, yeah. So I mean, I didn't never expected that this would morph into impeachment talk. But I mean, this is the direction we're headed in because they're so desperate, Frank. They're so desperate. And the words escape me. I don't even know how to explain how ridiculous what we're living through is right now. It's abhorrent and terrifying. It just blows my mind. I can't.
Well, I think that on the governmental level and a bureaucratic level, there is desperation there. Those are the people who really have something to lose, because we, the voters, we, the governed, we have nothing to gain. We have nothing to gain. So as far as desperation goes, I think that there's some people who have been made very, very scared. And from that being frightened by the media and people like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and Chuck Schumer, they have formed some sort of desperate leaning where they will believe anything as long as it gets rid of Trump because they're that scared. But I think the real desperation is being felt bureaucratically, and that everything else, when we're talking about this wedding and the wedding defectors to go terrorize the event, I think when you're talking about people like that, I don't really think that that's desperation. I think that is just psychosis and righteousness. It is a righteous psychosis. Because they're out of their minds. They believe it. And they already know. You can tell we paid $100,000 for this. We can do what we want. These are the people who are, for the most part, living in the west side of Manhattan that will always vote liberal because their fortunes are recession proof. They don't care about anything else. They are in this. This is a religious experience for them.
Yeah. Yep.
100K. This is our building. Sounds like the UN in Utah.
I know. And not only that. Oh, man, I'm not even going to say what I. Moving on. Nadler just released his. Well, at 12:30 in the morning, Nadler released his impeachment report. It's 658 pages long, ensuring that absolutely nobody will read it.
I've been working on this impeachment report.
How did they even make this? This is longer than the freaking FISA report, and he worked on that for 3 years.
I have sworn off all my family, and I have put together 700 pages of bullshit that everybody can read on Christmas break. because we don't want anybody having a good time on Christmas. And thank you so much. This is a very solemn task, a solemn duty. Impeachment, very solemn time.
Why do they have new budget authority and tax expenditures and Congressional Budget Office cost estimate in here?
For what? For impeachment?
Yeah, it's in the impeachment thing on page 180. What is going on here? Hold on.
Just pause it real quick.
Yeah. I have to look at it more. We're back. I have to look at it more. I don't think that this is happening, but it's possible from what I'm seeing. They're actually trying to put in legislation inside of this thing. Could be wrong. Anyway.
Mayo.
So 653 pages, or 58, sorry. 100 and something of it looks to be from the left, and the rest is from the right. So it's both sides. I wonder what else is in here. Anyway, I'll look at it later. Oh, Lord. Okay, so moving on. James Comey interviewed with, what's his name from Fox over the weekend?
The fluffer.
Yeah.
Wallace.
Yeah, Chris Wallace. And it was actually a really good interview. He did a good job of pinning him down on stuff. Have you listened to it at all?
I did. I have it ready for my show tonight.
There was something right around 9 minutes that I wanted to listen to. I'm going to go back to here. Okay, let's listen.
Some investigation, sir. This is an investigation of the campaign of the man who is the president of the United States. You've just been through a firestorm investigating Hillary Clinton. I would think if I were in your position, I would have been on that, like a junkyard dog. I would have wanted to know everything they were doing in investigating the Trump campaign.
Yeah, that's not the way it works, though. As a director sitting on top of an organization of 38,000 people, you can't run an investigation that's seven layers below you. You have to leave it to the career professionals to do, to the special agents who do this for their lives. And if a director tries to run an investigation, it'll get mucked up in all different kinds of ways, given his or her responsibilities and the impossibility of reaching the work that's being done at the lower level.
All right. And then there is, I've left for last, the worst misconduct. In August of 2016, just 2 weeks into the investigation, the CIA tells the FBI that it actually has a relationship with Carter Page, that when he has these meetings with the Russians, he actually goes back and he tells the CIA about it. But you never tell the FISA court that. And in fact, in 2017, an FBI lawyer doctors a document. The CIA said, oh, Carter Page, he's a source. And he puts in the application, he's not a source.
Yeah, I got to take issue with one of the predications of your question. The Inspector General did not find misconduct by any FBI people. He found mistakes and negligent and oversight.
No, that's not true. In the case of Kevin Kleinsmith, he has referred it for a criminal investigation.
Right, but that's not been resolved. This business with the lawyer changing some email to a partner on the
team. Give it up, Jimmy.
You make it sound like it's not much.
I know.
It's very important. It's very important.
A source to not a source is a big deal.
Remember how we got here. The FBI was accused of criminal misconduct. Remember, I was going to jail and lots of other people were going to jail. People on this network said it over and over and over again. The Inspector General did not find misconduct by FBI personnel, did not find political bias, did not find illegal conduct. Inspector General found significant mistakes, and that is not something to sneeze at. That's really important.
I'm stopping it real quick because can you even believe what is coming out of that man's mouth right now?
That, like I said, this is where desperation lies, the bureaucracy. This is a guy who is desperate. He cannot afford to be righteous and indignant about anything right now. This is a scared man. And I hope he rots in jail. I hope he does because the smirking and the condescension that we have gotten up until this point, and to see him start to quiver a little bit is really satisfying. Oh God. It's especially
since he said, what did he say? He doesn't get involved in investigations. Isn't that what he said? Yeah. Let's listen to this.
George W. Bush protocol, two men that I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. The protocol, two men that all of us have perhaps increased appreciation for over the last 2 years. And in both of those administrations, there was process. And so if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals, and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
As the audience laughs.
Oh, this guy, he just told me he can see that he had foresight. He was just so not up.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's desperation right there. But Jimmy's got a little bit less to be confident about these days. Too bad, Jimmy.
I mean, to be honest, I agree with you. I really do. I think that it's a big problem for Mr. Jimmy right now.
Well, the fact that he has changed his tune completely is the biggest indicator of what he's feeling inside, because he has gone from taking his victory lap and saying, well, there you go, nothing in there, big nothing burger. As we said before, the FBI was just staffed full, chock full of America loving people doing their job. And now it's, yes, yeah, no, it shouldn't be minimized that the egregious mistakes we made were, these are very, very important to tackle. No. These were not mistakes, hiccups, nothing, my friend. Shut up and let it happen to you. It's coming.
Yeah. There's no other option. I mean, there's no everything. And then he had the gall to say something negative about Barr, of all the things.
Unless, of course, he says, my boss put me up to it.
Well, that's what Clapper's doing.
Yeah, unless he said, yeah, that's sick. Just come on. You know, that's the big thing about this whole situation. Who are the big fish? Yeah, the former director of the FBI is a pretty big fish. This is historic in its own right. We know that the FBI's had problems for many decades, but for this kind of heat to be coming down on a director would be amazing, because you know that he is only a puppet of the president, and even Obama is nowhere near the top of the pecking order of the people who are really calling the shots in the world.
Something else I talked about in that video the other day.
They're all middle management.
Yeah, it's actually quite terrifying. Let's hear real quick. This is a short 2 minute. It's not short, but it's a clip of Bongino on Fox and Friends completely destroying Comey.
Speculating that he does not have a factual basis as the Attorney General of the United States to be speculating that agents acted in bad faith. The facts just aren't there. Full stop. That doesn't make it any less consequential, any less important, but that's an irresponsible statement.
The facts aren't there?
You know, I don't know what Jim Comey was thinking in that interview. This is really a deeply troubled guy. I don't know if it's narcissism or something worse, but the fact that Jim Comey, he clearly didn't read the same report I did. And guys, one of the things I wish would go away is this constant media myth, because it's not true. People keep saying on other networks, and I've heard it, the report says there was no political bias, which of course Jim Comey just ran with. That is not what the report says. That is not true. If you read the report, what Horowitz said is he couldn't find documented evidence of political bias.
La, da, da.
There's more. I just stopped it because I thought I heard you say something.
No, I was singing Seal, Kiss from a Rose.
In the middle of the clip?
Yeah, this is what reminds me of everything. I'm just having...
Okay.
It's Monday.
Here we go.
To initiate the case. That is not the same thing.
Nobody would admit it.
What he suggests. Yes, exactly. Nobody admitted. But what he said at multiple points was he couldn't eliminate political bias as a potential motive. I don't know why this myth keeps getting perpetrated. And for Comey yesterday during that interview, and I thought Chris Wallace did a good job pinning him down on this, for Comey to not just come out with a full mea culpa, do you realize what happened here? Chris nailed him down on a couple of things. There were 7 lies or omissions in a spy warrant to spy on an innocent American citizen. He had no explanation. Not only were there 7 in the 3 renewals to continue to spy on Carter Page, they added 10 more as if 7 lies weren't enough. And then they interviewed Steele's source in January. They renew the warrant 3 times despite knowing conclusively Steele's.
So Chris Wallace in the interview brings up a tweet that Comey made about where can Lisa Page go to get her reputation back and asks.
I don't know. The unemployment office start a new. I mean, you can go to a local rec center and
hell?
You can become a kickball instructor or something like that. That's it. You can go do swim aerobics. I think Lisa Page would do good as a swim aerobics instructor. You can start off there and work your way up. Maybe get your own Pilates class soon.
Jim Comey is asked by Wallace, where does Carter Page go to get his back? You know what the response is? And I'm going to tell everybody out there, this is a big trick. It's a trick you get taught if you go to any good sales training or people training or any good class or school that teaches you how to manipulate and run conversations. You'll learn that either when you don't know what to say because you need a minute to think, or you don't want to answer, you say, that's a good question. That's your first response, is to flatter the person asking the question and put them off guard as you ponder for your answer. He's a manipulative. It gives you time.
Da, 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 da.
If I could whistle, I would be whistling, but I don't know how to whistle.
Oh, it's too bad I can't play some music right now. It's too bad. Can't just play 20 seconds of a song.
Why do you want to?
Yeah, I was going to play some Seal.
We can. You want to play it?
I don't know why it's, it's just. Yes. Lisa and Jimmy doing Pilates in the state penitentiary. I hope that she's the chief Pilates instructor in Sing Sing. But no, this is not a New York crime. I don't know. At least this stuff makes me a little bit more calm. The fact that their tunes have changed in such significant ways make me a little bit more calm. Like, oh, okay. The more scared that they get visibly, a little bit more I can enjoy the holidays and get ready for the 2020 slugfest.
Did you catch the letter that Devin Nunes wrote to Adam Schiff?
Is this what has been passed around in screenshots on? I think I saw something with Devin Nunes and all that stuff, but I have not read it.
Dear Chairman Schiff, as you are aware, on December 9th, 2019, U.S. Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz published the results of his investigation of the FISA warrant and renewals obtained by the FBI and the DOJ to spy on the Trump campaign associate Carter Page. The findings of pervasive major abuses by the FBI dramatically contradict the assertions of your memo released on February 24th, 2018, in which you claimed, quote, FBI and DOJ officials did not abuse the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act process, omit material information, or subvert this vital tool to spy on the Trump campaign. After publishing false conclusions of such enormity on a topic directly within this committee's oversight responsibilities, it is clear you are in need of rehabilitation, and I hope this letter will serve as the first step in that vital process. Outlining every false claim from your memo would require an extremely long letter, so I'll limit my summary to a few highlights. In your memo, you made the following assertions, and he goes through a whole bunch of them, and then he lists what contradicted them, right? And then he says, overall, the IG found that so many basic and fundamental errors were made by 3 separate handpicked teams on one of the most sensitive FBI investigations that was briefed to the highest levels within the FBI, and that FBI officials expected would eventually be subjected to close scrutiny raised significant questions regarding the chain of command's management and supervision of the process. In our view, this was a failure of not only the operational team, but also the managers and supervisors, including senior officials. Indeed, the problems are so severe that they've initiated an audit to further scrutinize the Woods procedures. So he says, this makes it clear your rehabilitation will be a long, arduous process. And then he says, as part of your rehabilitation, it's crucial that you admit you have a problem. You're hijacking the Intelligence Committee for political purposes while excusing and covering up IC abuses. I understand taking action on this issue will be difficult for you, as it will be an implicit acknowledgement that you were wrong to deny these abuses and you were complicit in the violation of Americans' civil liberties. Nevertheless, I also understand such an acknowledgement is made even more difficult by the fact that you've already been discredited by your years-long false claim that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia to hack the 2016 presidential election. Nevertheless, I refuse to believe you're beyond redemption. I invite you to work closely with me on your rehabilitation program. And I look forward to scheduling a committee hearing with IG Horowitz at the nearest opportunity.
Well,
he's going into rehab.
He said it all.
He said it all.
He's going into rehab.
Also, I just want to let you know that on my channel over the weekend, I uploaded and I premiered as its own highlight the latest appearance of Chris Ann Hall and her husband JC on my show from last week. And it was around the time that Schiff was getting out in front. I mean, this has happened a lot lately, but it was like these formal press junkets about the Constitution and impeachment, the solemn tasks that they're undertaking, the founders, all that stuff. And which, you know, thinking about what Devin Nunes is talking about here, it is a prime example of people who are out of their minds. And they're really just playing to anybody who is of a lower stripe than them for them to even believe what they're trying to sell. But for anybody out there who is interested, on my one of the latest uploads on the channels, Chris Ann Hall and J.C. Hall, I had them on to talk about the Democrat Party platform that was published in 2016, which really has not gotten any better because since 2016, we've gotten the Green New Deal and other things heaped on top of it. And how if these con men and con women who are up there selling impeachment and things like that and you know, nonviolent takeover of government by ways of pleading how it's constitutional, the Constitution begs us to do something like this. We went through the entire party platform to show just off the table of contents that if they actually adhered to the Constitution, the party would cease to exist.
Yeah, nothing, nothing.
The only thing we did find one thing in their party platform from 2016 that was published, which I said, like I said, it has only gotten worse since then. Only one thing that we found that was constitutional, and that was they wanted to make the post office more efficient. And of course, the post office is the development and the maintaining of the postal system is within the Article 1, Section 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's it. They are the party of the post office.
Not only that, but I wanted to also play some clips, which I didn't get to do this weekend, of your interview with Rich Barris from Friday. So good. So good. So good.
Because I wanted to understand what really happened out there in the UK. And of course, the greatest question everybody's been asking is, do the just like in 2016 with the Brexit referendum, should we all look at this United Kingdom election, this sweep, this wipeout in late 2019, December 2019, is this going to somehow mirror what we're going to see in the U.S. in 2020? Because Great Britain set the tone in 2016. Why not again? It was a great, great talk.
Yeah, he's great. He's really good. So let's talk about this real quick. Hopefully people, I meant to do this in the beginning. Hopefully people stuck around with us until now and listened to the whole show. So there is on the week of the week of December 30th through January 4th, Radio Influence is on vacation. Now, what I think we're going to do, and I'll confirm for you guys probably Wednesday or Friday, is I think that Frank and I are going to live stream our podcast Monday and Friday, likely taking off on Wednesday. What do you think?
What's
Wednesday's
Monday,
January 1st. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The first, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, so
I'm just,
we'll take off on the first because it's New Year's Day. We'll take off New Year's Day. But Monday and Friday, we'll stream it live to our social media. So I'll have it on Twitter. I'll have it on YouTube. Frank, you can stream it too if you want.
Sure.
We'll all stream and we'll be streaming machines and you can watch it live at 10 o'clock in the morning.
That would be fun. A real morning show.
Yeah. And just bear with me as I sit here cross-legged on my chair, futzing around, looking on my phone for the next topic I have listed and stuff like that.
And me rocking back and forth.
Do you do that? I pace when I talk on the phone.
Oh, well, I rock in between when I speak. Like right now, I'm just leaning forward and whatever. But I don't know. If I know that we have a viewing audience, I might get up and walk around. I'll wear pants that day. And and that's that.
Aye, aye, aye. So there's more. Adam Schiff. Hold on. Adam Schiff has also gone on the talk circuit on Fox News. And he was even worse to watch. I'm not even going to play a clip of him, but he was the same. He was more of the same. Like, how did these people even stand up there with a straight face and talk? I don't get it. I really don't. And Chanel Ryan from OANN has done some really good reporting going over Ukraine with Giuliani, talking to all the folks involved in this Ukraine corruption. And Lindsey Graham says, I'd be happy to have Rudy Giuliani come talk in front of the committee after the impeachment is over. Well, what good is that going to do anyone? Moron. I don't know what his purpose is anymore, Graham. What is he doing?
He's there to walk the tightrope. He's one of those people. I don't know. And then I asked myself, well, hey, if this guy, you know, I always bring it up there too. If they actually had something on Trump, they would have dropped a long time ago. If Vladimir Putin had something on Trump, it would have dropped a long time ago. That should have been the number one thing that anybody out there who thinks that Russia is controlling Trump like a puppet would have been able to dispel the entire thing and say, okay, well, this was obviously just a hoax because where is it? I mean, at this point. So I often ask myself about that. If Lindsey Graham, he's been around for so long and he has been aligned with some really dubious American figures for so long that you wonder what the hell, if you'd think that somebody would have something on him. Or has he done anything really too outlandish that requires the dropping of dirt? And does he have I don't know. I don't know what his deal is. I really don't know what his deal is. I know I don't trust him.
Yeah, me neither.
But I never did. He's another one of those people that have said things like freedom of speech is a great idea, but we're in a war. I remember that. That was years ago. Freedom of speech is a great idea, but we're in a war.
Yeah, there is no but after that.
Then all you got to do is keep us in war forever. And what do you know? He likes that too.
But all I have to say is it doesn't really matter in some ways because last week the Trump campaign raised over $10 million in just 1 week.
Damn.
So keep going.
Yeah, keep it up.
People are speaking out against Schiff, though. Did you see the clip of the Schiff, the little event he did?
With the guy screaming at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that. Then there was the guy at the Biden rally. Biden comes down at his little rally he has with like not even 100 people there. He says, as Donald Trump was coming down the escalator before he even announced, while he was on the escalator, he said, we're going to go after those Mexicans or those rapist Mexicans. Oh, like he literally invented something. Okay. And somebody in the crowd yells out, that's a lie. And he acknowledges the person. And the person
says, no, it's not a lie. I heard it in my head. I heard it.
and he goes after him for Burisma. It's not even going to be safe for them to walk down the street soon.
So wait a second. He made up. I didn't hear.
Yeah,
this.
Do you want me to find it? I have it. I'll play the clip here.
As he was coming down the escalator in 2015
to announce
on the way down, he was talking about we're going to get those Mexicans.
Yeah.
I have to hear what he said.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull it up for us right now. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Supremacists here. Hate groups. Talk to white supremacists here at home.
Racists.
Coming down the escalator when he announced in Trump Towers, he said he was doing it before he hit the ground floor. Remember what he said? He said, I'm going to take on those rapist Mexicans.
Remember? Well, remember he said? And he's like, it's programming people. Wake up to it. We're going to finish it. Ready?
Yeah.
And he cried, no, there's never been a president.
That's a lie, Joe.
There's never been a president.
That's a lie.
Oh, it is a lie.
Yeah. And it was your son in the Ukraine. All right.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Boo! Boo this man. Boo this man. He's one of those crazy people.
Debunked conspiracy theory.
Debunked. We're good people.
He says this, you know, like Nadler in the impeachment hearing when they're about to take their vote. He says the evidence is uncontested.
Wherever it is uncontested. Wherever we have hidden the evidence that we will one day be able to show everybody, you will see. Oh, boy.
You won't be able to.
That's what Schiff said for 2.5 years with Mueller.
It's uncontested.
I have seen the evidence. Oh, God. And the gun is not only smoking, it's still red hot. It's glowing.
Not only that, but the entire hearing was the Republicans contesting the evidence. Like, does he think that nobody watched this thing? That's the thing. The gaslighting and the manipulation and the programming that these people are using on the American people is so transparent for anyone with a brain who's not one of these idiots in the crowd here. Normal Americans are sitting there like, uncontested. What?
Well, listen.
The president contests it. Even if there were one person on the planet that contested the evidence, it couldn't be uncontested.
You know, it's uncontested at this point what the inspector general found.
Yes.
That's what's uncontested, because now even James Comey is saying, well, yeah, there's, he's trying to wiggle, but he can't anymore. And that's why he's making concessions. And he's, you know, if the president was saying, well, yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't the best call I ever made. And I could see what they're saying. And, well, I was trying a little bit. That's what it means when it's uncontested, when everybody is saying, this ain't good.
Got two things that are uncontested. The first one is that Adam Schiff is an a-hole. Mm-hmm. The second one is that this is the best podcast in the world.
Having a good time.
You know what? I'm done. I'm done today. I'm done.
We almost did a full hour. What is it, 53?
Yeah, we went over a couple times last week, so it evens out. But remember, guys, remember, Wednesday we have Ned Ryan. That's going to be great. I got his book yesterday. I have to read a bunch of it over this next day or so. Wednesday is Ned Ryan. Friday is we're getting to be around Christmas time here, Frank. And we've got a couple more shows. You know, Wednesday of the week after is on Christmas, so we won't be doing that show.
You're damn right.
And we love you guys. And that's it. You guys have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you Wednesday.
See ya.
This is a Jim Fannin Show quick fix on Radio Influence.
This is universal for the Jim Fannin brands, the score system. We've been using this tool for almost 50 years. It's the simple reboot. When you lose your focus, turn your brain off completely, go blank, see a blank screen, unhinge your jaw. You can do this right now. Take several deep breaths, about a half a dozen. Long inhale, long exhale, and just see nothing on the screen of space in your mind. Blank. Turn off your brain, your conscious mind. And after you hold it 30 seconds up to 90 seconds, you'll open your eyes, you'll lift your chin up above parallel, slightly above parallel, and send your energy back to the task at hand. So when you lose your focus, need to refocus, you'll use the reboot and then redirect your energy away from yourself, away from the distraction, narrowing your focus back to a small objective.
The Jim Fannin Show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.